Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 After. Thank you very much for being here. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our special guest this hour is our good friend Marguerite Kirk. She's the author of 10 Commandments of Small Businesses Success. She's also an attorney. We've never held that against her. Marguerite, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm just teasing you. You know that. It's good to have you back with us. And one of the things, folks, if you very well may be an independent contractor. There's a good chance that you are. There are millions of you out there. You know, Marguerite, one of the things that that's interesting to me are the people who don't think they're independent contractors, but really, technically, they're small business owners.
Exactly.
And they don't even think of themselves that way. They think of themselves as just another category of employee. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reason why I like to focus on this. And we've done this before at least two or three or four times over the last couple of years. We focused on the world, the environment that the independent contractor operates in, the very, very small business person, meaning only one employee, and that's you. And if you fit into that category, pay attention today, because we've got a lot of stuff that we're going to talk to you about. Marguerite's done quite a bit of research on this, and there are some, as can be expected, Marguerite, there are some cases that are actually being resolved right now along the lines of this relationship between an independent contractor and the person that they work for.
Yeah, it's real important that not only for a person who hires independent contractors, you know, if you're an employer and you hire independent contractors,
that's right,
you know exactly what the guidelines are.
And that's what this hour,
both of them.
That's what this hour is about, is the relationship between the client. And I'm not going to call them an employer, because I don't consider them to be an employer. I consider them to be the client or the customer, and the other person to be the independent contractor. And therein the distinction between client and contractor and employee, employer is where the rub is, isn't it?
Well, the main thing is, who pays the taxes? That's what we talk. That's when you start looking at it.
Right.
When the people are working, you know, they don't think about it.
Right.
But it's like, if somebody doesn't pay the taxes, because if you're self-employed, then you need to be making quarterly tax payments. You need to be paying your own self-employment tax, you know, your own 940s. If you're an employer, then you need to pay for all your employees.
Well,
it happens later on as IRS goes back and says, hey, nobody paid these taxes, and then they start jumping on everybody, and everybody says, well, what am I?
Well, it's not just the taxes anymore either. It's also the benefits, and that's something that we're going to report on today. Tell us about the Microsoft case. Recently, in the last show that I did with Joan Pride on the Kiplinger Letters, we touched on some of these issues just a little bit, and we actually mentioned the Microsoft case, but we didn't go into any detail on it. Tell us about this recent Microsoft case.
Well, basically what happened in, it started back in 1990. And up until 1990, Microsoft was a small company working out of somebody's backyard, you know.
Well, no, wait a minute.
Backyard.
No,
you
no,
know,
no.
We like to think of it that way, right?
maybe 1980.
Well, anyway, but up until around that time, or 1987, Microsoft had called most of the people that worked for them, they had called them independent contractors, which means that they didn't have to pay them any benefits. They paid them a certain amount of money for doing a job, but Microsoft was really controlling those people. You know, they were coming to work at the Microsoft place.
And they only worked for Microsoft.
That's right. And so what happened is IRS went in and said, whoa, these people are really employees. They're not independent contractors. They don't come and go on their own. So Microsoft in 1990 agreed to accept the IRS ruling that these people were employees. Well, what that meant to Microsoft and to these, because these individuals hadn't been paying their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yet. And that's where the rub came in. IRS only gets into it when they don't get taxes from somebody. you know, then they start pulling everything up.
That's right.
If somebody gets, if somebody pays the taxes, IRS generally stays out of it and doesn't look into what the status of a certain person is, what the IRS legal status, if you want to call them that. So nobody was paying these taxes. Well, Microsoft finally agreed to accept the Internal Revenue Service ruling that these people were really employees, so they paid to IRS all the back taxes, wages, penalties, the withholding amounts.
Plus penalties and interest, as you say, plus penalties and interest, which
and
often...
Hadn't withheld them.
Which often can be as much as the tax.
But see, they hadn't even withheld money.
Mm-hmm.
So Microsoft had to come up with money as if they had withheld it. So it's a double stinger if it happens later.
Yep, yep. Now, do you know the amount that they had to come up with?
No. I know it was a bunch.
I don't know what that number is either.
No. But what happened after that, and what happened in 1997, or before that time, so these people were now declared that they were employees. They got to looking at it and saying, well, if we had worked for Microsoft all these times as employees, we'd have had stock options, we'd have had benefits,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And what is Microsoft stock worth now?
That's right.
A heck of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We'd probably be millionaires. So they hired a lawyer, and together they all sued Microsoft to get their back benefits, and they won.
Yep.
So not only did Microsoft have to pay the withholding taxes that they hadn't really withheld, but they had to go back and treat those folks as employees and give them all the stock options, and the stock plan was the main thing.
And there are other cases out there like the Microsoft case that are in the that are in the works right now. There's one against Time Warner. I don't know whether you're familiar with that one or not. But,
no.
But I just know that that one exists. I don't know the details of it. But this is a very interesting issue. And Marguerite might be saying, well, those are big companies. You know, they're not going to worry about my little company. Well, what those big companies do, and how they will affect little companies, is that now becomes case law.
Right.
And that means that is the precedent that Billy Joe Bob, your little independent contractor that's working for you, will use against you, Mr. or Ms. Small Business Owner.
You know, what happens that I... Go to break.
Go ahead. Okay.
You know, a lot of cases, what I see is somebody loses their job as a, quote, independent contractor, and they want to get unemployment. So they go to the unemployment office and say, I was an employee.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then they start catching up.
Stand by, Margaret. We do have to take a break. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. We are back at 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our phone number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. And Marguerite Kirk is our good friend and our special guest this hour. She's the author of 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. Marguerite, tell us where the book's available, please.
The book is available online, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. You can get it probably in your local bookstore. You can get it from the publisher, Book Home.
And it's selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, it is.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's been a kind of a real surprise to me, just because it's a small book, and I wrote it as a small book so the small business person could pick it up and read it, maybe in an hour. But what I tried to do was to condense it so that you've got the most important points that you need to run a business.
That's what I like about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, over the years, you know, in my 25 years practicing law dealing with small businesses, I found that the businesses that follow these 10 rules or guaranteed success. In fact, Barnes & Noble now has a policy that if you buy my book and you follow the rules, if your company's not successful, they give you your money back.
Are you serious?
It. Yes.
What? That's pretty good. I never heard of that before. I'm impressed.
You get your $14.95 or $15.95.
Does that come out of your pocket?
No.
I hope not. That's pretty good. Okay, let's get back into the independent contractor issue. These benefits that Microsoft employees sued for, and the back taxes that the employees, not the employees, but the IRS went after Microsoft for. Again, this is a major case that got a lot of headlines and everything, but this is going on maybe not the benefits thing, but the back taxes thing is going on in little bitty companies all over this country.
Yeah,
Margaret.
Right. What I see is I'll have a small business that comes into my office because it's a small business owner that gets hit.
Right.
And he'll come in and he or she will come in and say, oh, you know, I had these independent contractors that worked for me, and all of a sudden I got this notice, you know, they quit a long time ago, or I fired them, which makes you think they're really employed, because
mm-hmm.
you can't fire independent contractors. Anyway, they had this contract that said they were independent contractors, or they thought they were. Well, these people were no longer working for them, and they were behind on their taxes. What happens is IRS comes down on those employees or independent contractors, whatever they are, says, where are your taxes? And then they turn around and say, we were working for Joe over there. He's got our taxes.
Yeah.
He should have withheld them if he didn't.
That's and what we have here is we have a case of an owner who basically was just sort of thinking, you know, I'll just dodge a bullet here for a while, and that'll drop a little extra money on my bottom line. And we have an independent contractor, a person who has been laid off, and however they decided to work for this person as an independent contractor instead of as an employee, that person really hasn't really thought of themselves as a small business owner yet. They're still thinking of themselves as an employee, just in a different category. And so they don't do anything differently than they did when they were an employee. They don't withhold taxes on themselves when they're an employee. That's what the employer does.
And there are a lot of jobs, from painters to especially a lot of workers like that, that don't. I don't care how long they're paying, I don't care how many contractors they work for or working for on a contract basis. They just tend not to pay in those quarterly taxes because they tend to think they don't make any money.
Well, here's the thing. They don't know how, for one thing, because they're not used to that kind of a process, that kind of activity.
Right.
But here's the way it really happens. They used to be an employee and now they're not. And they've lost their job for whatever reason, and so they say, okay, this person, I've got these skills. I'm good with a hammer and a saw, or I'm good with a computer, or I've got some other skills that I can offer. So all the way from the handyman who repairs your house to a high level consultant who helps GM or Ford or Boeing, all the way from one end of the spectrum to the other. Those are people who used to be employees, and now they've started taking their skills to the marketplace in a free agent way. And they are an independent contractor. And as soon as they can, they need to realize that they are on their own, and they're going to be responsible for paying their own taxes.
A lot of times what happens with the people that, workers that work on homes, with the building boom, they maybe have 50,000 jobs with one company.
Yeah.
You know, because this building company is doing so well building homes that they're an independent contractor as a painter, but maybe their jobs are full working for Toll Brothers or working for mm-hmm. Quality Homes or whatever.
When we come back, Marguerite, we're going to talk about what is the definition of an independent contractor. The IRS has quite a few of those. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Marguerite Kirk is our special guest. Marguerite specializes in business law and small business reorganization. She's a board-certified attorney in bankruptcy by the State Bar of Texas and the American Bankruptcy Institute. And one of the reasons she wrote her book is because she saw a lot of small businesses who were taking bankruptcy who needed to know a few things. And if they had known those things, they probably wouldn't have been in bankruptcy. Right, Marguerite?
Right. I see 80% of the people that come see me, if they'd come to see me sooner and just gotten some advice, they wouldn't have ended up where they did.
Yeah. Well, you know what
happens? Number.
What happens is small business owners remind me of people who think they have a dread disease.
dread disease.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you think you have a dread disease, and every one of us would be like this, I'm sure, if you think you've got something wrong with you, how long do you wait before you go to the doctor? Sometimes we wait too long, don't we? Because you don't want to know the truth. And that's what happens in small business, I think. Don't you?
Well, but some of you know, you go to the doctor and the treatment's not as bad as you thought it was going to be.
That's exactly right. But that's my
mm-hmm.
my point. And that's the problem that small business owners have more than they'll ever admit, is that they won't deal with the reality sometimes. And as you say, it's not going to be comfortable to solve these problems. It is if you've got a problem. Sometimes the cure can be a little painful, but it doesn't have to be as painful as just being terminal. But this reminds me, it really connects very well to the independent contractor issue, because if someone has an employee who they've downsized, and I've seen this happen before, that somebody got downsized and then after the person left, they realized that they still needed that expertise, the company did. And so, whatever reason, the company and that person hooks back up again, and the owner says, well, I can't bring you back as an employee, but why don't I bring you back and I'll pay you, as an independent contractor? And that's an insidious relationship that builds and builds, and before long, you've got some problems, primarily with the IRS. Now, the IRS has set out 20 factors that identify whether you are an employee or an independent contractor. Talk to us about those, Marguerite.
Well, the first one, and I think this one, some of these factors seem clear,
mm-hmm.
but we're talking about situations in which they get very gray. Like the first one is that the IRS looks at what kind of instructions the employer gives the person who's working for them, the independent contractor or the employee.
Mm-hmm.
Like take the situation, if you have a painter, and so a painter is working for a home builder, supposedly as an independent contractor, but this is a big building company like Toll Brothers or Ryland Homes, a national company. Right now they have a subdivision where the subdivision's booming, so they say to this painter, okay, you're an independent contractor, but I want you to finish this house, and I want you to go over and finish this house, and then when you do that, you go over here. So the guy's painting on one of the houses, and they say, wait a minute, what I need you to do, I need you to go over and look at Miss Jones' house, because
mm-hmm.
we just sold her that house, and we need some touch-up work.
And this is all by instructions, not contract.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're really doing is controlling this, quote, independent contractor's time, which is one element of being an employee instead of an independent contractor.
Right.
Because an independent contractor would be hired to do a job. And the home builder would say to him, I want you to do this house. And the independent contractor would say, well, I can probably do it Tuesday, or I'll get it done within the next month. And he
mm-hmm.
might do some, he might go to another job.
I'll put you in my rotation and
right.
I can work you in on this date.
Yeah, and I might
yeah.
have somebody help me or not, but that's
right.
my business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you can see how these areas can get very gray.
Right.
And it's
right.
just the fact that these people are working closely together, and if you've had a previous relationship with this person in which you were an employee, then you kind of have that going, that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask you to do something, you just go do it.
Mm-hmm. What about training? That's number two.
Well, most of the employees are going to receive some kind of training from their employer. And so IRS says if the business owner provides training to these people, they're probably employees instead of independent contractors, because most independent contractors are going to go out and get their training on their own.
Well, if you're an independent contractor, if you're a consultant, if you're a specialist, you're a small business owner, you're being hired for your expertise. It should be assumed that you wouldn't need any training from this customer.
Right. And that's...
I think that's a very telling factor in whether you're an employee or a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Integration.
Well, again, like I was given in the first example, it's just going to depend on where this person fits into the business, where they fit, how fast, how much they're integrated into it, in terms of looking at if, say, Toll Brothers says to the painter, okay, I'm going to pull you off this job and I want you to go fix Ms. Brown's house, because we're closing
mm-hmm.
on that tomorrow. That's real integrated into the Toll Brothers, and I'm just using this as an example. It could be anybody, but it's real integrated into their day-to-day activities, because they're pulling this guy off of one job and putting him on another job.
Yeah.
So that's how you have to look at it.
Let's move down to five, hiring and supervising. Paying assistance.
Well, independent contractors generally hire their own assistants, and they hire them as they need them, because they're there to do a certain job, and the business owner shouldn't care how many assistants they hire or don't hire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're hired to do the job.
For a typically predetermined fee.
Mm-hmm.
And even if there's an assistant brought in, and even if there, and obviously there would be a fee for that, and you could put that in your proposal. You know, I charge this much for myself. I charge this much for my assistants, and then the client would say, well, how many assistants are you going to need?
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them how many, and then you agree on that price,
mm-hmm.
on that contract.
Yeah, that's real important. I think you have to be careful. And you're talking about contracts. You know, it's important that you have a contract.
Right. Stand by, Marguerite. We're going to take a break. Folks, we're going to cover a few more of these factors that the IRS says identifies whether the person working for you is an independent contractor or an employee. And the distinction is very, very important. And if you don't pay attention to it, it can cost you a lot of money. Sporty After, we'll be right back. We are back. It's 45 After. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Marguerite Kirk is our guest. She's the author of 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. It's available online. It's available in bookstores. It's got a bullet, folks. This book is taking off, and that's because it's a good one. And as you know, I don't bring any books on the show, any authors and their books on the show who aren't good. And no chopped liver for my audience. 888-822-8255 if you want to join us. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Would you like to give us some coordinates, Marguerite? Either a phone number or a website or email?
If you have a question, you can email me at margkirk@flash.net.
Okay.
You can get the book, as you mentioned, on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. or any of your local bookstores.
All right, good. Thank you. Okay, we're talking about some of the indicators, some of the factors that the IRS has identified that differentiates whether you are an employee or an independent contractor. One is set hours of work, and this according to the IRS, if as the employer slash client. If I can determine the number of hours that you work, that kind of indicates that you're an employee, doesn't it?
Yeah, but most jobs that even independent contractors have, they have to be on the job for certain hours.
Right.
You know, it's just a gray area.
But I think what they're talking about there is if I say you have to be here at 8 o'clock every day and leave at 5 o'clock, I think that's what they're going for there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what if you're in this situation, and I'm playing the devil's advocate here, but what if your situation, and these are people who get in trouble, what if you're a home builder?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that run into problems because they have to have somebody on the job certain hours
right. To
do the framer in a house. Can't say I'll be there next week.
Well, that's coordinating. That's not, I don't consider that to be a set hours of work. To me, set hours of work is every day it's the same thing. You know a week from now what hours and where you're going to be. To me, what you're talking about, I think, is more coordinating. See, I do that as an independent contractor, as a business consultant. You know, my clients say, I need you here tomorrow all day long.
Mm-hmm.
They set my hours tomorrow. But I don't know, that's not going to recur a month from now.
What if the home builder has 50 homes out there and he says, I want you working here so many hours, so many days, we've got to knock these things out.
Well, see, you're getting over into number 17.
Right, right.
And this is very important, folks. This is critical. We're not going to get into all these factors. You can find these, I'm sure, on the IRS website. Marguerite, I'm not sure, but if you'd like to have these 20 factors, let me or Marguerite know one or the other, and we'll make sure that you get them. But you're getting over into number 17, which is working for more than one firm, and this is the big deal in the whole discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Is how many people do you work for?
Again, you know, I'm going back to the same example, but you've got a home building. The reason I'm bringing this up is because people who work for home builders, people who work as, quote, contractors, those are the big ones that IRS is jumping on now, and they used to leave them alone.
But see, if you come to me as a person who uses independent contractors, and you say, this person who's a consultant or this person who's a plumber, either one, you have two guys who work for you. One's a high-powered consultant, the other one is a plumber. and they didn't pay their taxes. And so we're coming to you, Mr. Business Person, and we expect you to pay these taxes. If I can prove that I am one of, say, five people, and I only had them 20% of their time, if I can prove that, then I don't have to pay those taxes, do I?
Right. That's real important. The other important thing is that as a small business owner, for your own protection, you need to have a written contract with these people.
That's right.
With your independent contractors, in which they agree that they're independent contractors. And you have it written out, mm-hmm. and you have things specified, like, I won't control your hours of work. You know, you voluntarily come to work to get the job done at a certain time.
Right.
And you specify some of these guidelines, because that hopefully, and again, this is from the business owner, hopefully that's going to prevent somebody who hadn't paid their taxes later on saying, oh, no, I was really unemployed.
There are other things.
It works both ways.
Other things you can do, Marguerite, when we wrap up the hour, we're going to talk about the contracts a little bit more. But another thing you can do is you can do a little due diligence on your own and find out if this independent contractor actually works for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they tell you they do, even if they put it in a contract, I think you might still have some liability if, in fact, you are the only person they work for. Stay with us. We'll be right back, folks. It's 50 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're back. It's 54 After. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our special guest is our good friend Marguerite Kirk. She's the author of 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. It's an outstanding book. I recommend you check it out, folks. It's selling very, very well. And it's available online. It's available in bookstores. 10 Commandments of Small Business Success by Marguerite Kirk. Marguerite, let's wrap up the hour by talking about a little bit more about some of the things you can do to protect yourself as a person who hires independent contractors. Now, the way you can protect yourself if you are an independent contractor is just to pay your taxes.
Right.
Get hooked up with an accountant and let them help you plug into the process, plug into the system. That's all you have to do. And then you have to withhold on yourself. But I'll tell you what, as someone who went from being an employee to an independent contractor overnight, it's very seductive to get that check for the work that you did and go spend it all like you did when they were withholding on you. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. And that's how, just exactly what you're talking about, that's how people get into trouble. Then you've got all those penalties and interest on there, and all of a sudden, you know, you thought you owed $2,000 in taxes, and that $2,000 becomes $15,000.
And the really ugly part, Marguerite, is the longer you go, the harder it is you're convinced of getting yourself out of it. And people literally drop out of the IRS system for years. But mm-hmm. guess what? The bad news is they will find you, and they will come and get you.
And they can put a lien on your home.
Everything.
Yeah, they can take everything.
We actually got just a couple of minutes. Let's talk about the contract that the employer or the client should have. Let's talk a little bit about how you can protect yourself with that.
Well, if you're a small business owner and you're hiring, quote, independent contractors, you need to have an agreement between you and that party that specifies that they are independent contractors, that they control their work time, that you're hiring them on a per job basis.
And a set price.
At a set price, whether you might have 50% paid when the work is half done.
Let me ask you this question. Uh-huh. If obviously, as an independent contractor, I'm going to charge you more per hour if I work by the hour, and I do, by the way,
mm-hmm.
Than I would if I were an employee. Does the fact that that someone has paid an independent contractor three or four times a normal wage, does that give you any kind of evidence that you were hiring an independent contractor?
Yes, because that's one of the things that IRS looks at, is do you pay them the same as you pay your employees, or mm-hmm. do you pay them more? Because an independent contractor's got to pay his own taxes.
But regardless, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Marguerite, but regardless, if you pay somebody 10 times what the normal wage is, and you're the only person they work for, and they don't pay their taxes, you're going to have to pay them.
Yeah, that puts you in the red zone.
That, to me, that's the reason I say number 17 in their list is the most important, working for more than one firm at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, that's the pivotal issue, don't you think?
And then, see, that's the problem that Microsoft got into, because these people were working for them all the time.
Yeah,
Yep.
And what Microsoft is doing right now is one of the things that you mentioned, Jim, is they use other companies to find consultants.
Or, right.
You know, go through, like you were talking about, going through a leasing company.
Uh-huh.
Use an outsource, something like that, to find their people.
Right.
Run them through a middleman.
Mm-hmm. Also, if the person that you're hiring has a corporation that you're doing business with, if you do business with a corporation, I think that'll insulate you as well, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing you can't do is take somebody that used to be an employee, run them through a leasing company, and hire them back as an independent contractor.
Yeah.
The IRS finds out about that.
That's got to be the last word, Marguerite. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time. You did a good job
today.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you. Marguerite Kirk, ladies and gentlemen, the author of 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.